I wonder if you've ever noticed how many times in the New Testament scriptures the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as this man. Why do you suppose he was called this man by both his friends and his enemies? This man. Well, sometimes as you go through and study how many times in the scriptures in connection with the title this man, you'll find sometimes it was in derision by his enemies. And sometimes it was because they couldn't understand him. You know, it's not easy to understand the Lord Jesus Christ, especially his kenosis, as we refer to the fact that he had been in the form of God, and he came to this earth as a man. The Word, who created the heavens and the earth and all things, became flesh and dwelt among us. They beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And then he said, what if you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? One of the most difficult verses in all the Bible is in the third chapter of John, where he says there, no man hath ascended up to heaven at any time, except the Son of Man, who came down from heaven, who also is in heaven. Well, you know, at God's right hand at this time, while we're speaking to you, there's a glorified man at God's right hand. You remember, after he showed himself alive, for several weeks after his crucifixion and his resurrection, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Then his apostles saw him ascend up to heaven. And the messenger of the Lord said, this same Jesus that you see go up into heaven is coming in like manners you've seen him go. So we read about him in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Now, people were bewildered. They didn't understand. For instance, the Lord Jesus was a perfect man. He was perfect God. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary. And before he came to this earth as Jesus of Nazareth, he was in the form of God. He was with God. He was God. And the eternal, omniscient, omnipotent Christ was pre-existent and self-existent. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All things were made by Christ, and without him was not anything made that was made, and in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, there's something very interesting. You remember what the thief on the cross said about him, and he used the title, this man. The penitent thief who died with Christ said to the impenitent thief on the other side, impenitent thief on the other side of the cross, he said, we deserve this capital punishment, this crucifixion, but this man hath done nothing amiss, this man in the middle of us. Isn't that a wonderful statement? What kind of a world would we have if it could be said concerning every human being, this man hath done nothing amiss? The Lord Jesus Christ was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. You remember when they, in the 8th chapter of John, they wanted to stone to death that woman who broke the 7th commandment. And the Lord Jesus said, let the one who is without sin cast the first stone. They went out from the greatest to the least, and Jesus was left alone. Now we're told that 20 billion people have lived on this planet since Adam left the Garden of Eden. And if all 20 billion could be gathered together, and we'd say, let the one who is without sin go away, there'd only be one single person left. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're talking about being inherently righteous and divine. Of course, after you're saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he puts away your sin forever, you stand in the presence of God completely justified as though you had never sinned. But that's your righteous standing before God. But the more you love the Lord Jesus, the more you study the Word of God, which shows you just what you are, the more you're willing to say with Paul, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. But Jesus Christ said, which one of you convinceth me of sin? So that thief said, this man hath done nothing amiss. And then, you know, in the 7th chapter of John, some of those religious hypocrites, and Pharisees and scribes, they hired some people to go out and bring back an accusation against Christ and bring him back. Well, when they came back, instead of coming back with something against Christ, they were very much in his favor. Did you ever read that 7th chapter of John? It's a wonderful chapter. Get the 7th chapter of John and read it. And read that wonderful statement there, where they said, this man speaks as no other man speak. But this is the way they put it. They said, never man spake like this man. Now, if you've read the sayings of Christ in the whole book of John, you'll know what these men meant when they said in the 7th chapter of John, never man spake like this man. About 21 times in the book of John, the Lord speaks of himself as the I am. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Before Abraham was, I am. I and Father are one. I am the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Yes, if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sin. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now just think of the wonderful statements of the Lord, who said he had glory with the Father before the world was, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And if you go through and read, as I did recently, all the statements in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that Christ made concerning himself, you'll say, never man spake like this man. His enemies said he spake as one having authority, and they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Well, then in that same 7th chapter of John, you'll find something very interesting. In the 7th chapter of John, these same men that went out to bring something against the Lord Jesus Christ and come back and accuse him, they came back in his favor. And this is what they said. They said, when the Messiah comes, will he do greater things than this man had done? They had just gone over and seen the Lord Jesus Christ feed 5,000 hungry people with less than a pound of fish and bread. And they took up 12 baskets of fragments. Now the great works that the Lord Jesus Christ did when he fed the 5,000 and when he calmed the boisterous waves of the sea, when he walked on the water, when he cleansed the lepers and cast out demons and cured the maimed and the blind and the halt and the deaf and the dumb and raised the dead, all of that was to prove that he was the God of Isaiah 35:3-6, where it says God would come down to earth and perform these miracles. So they said, when the Messiah is come, will he do greater things than this man hath done? Well, that's a wonderful statement. Nobody would ever do greater works than he did. They say they're still looking for the Messiah. Well, will the Messiah do greater works than the Lord Jesus Christ did? Now, this man speak as never man speak. This man hath done nothing amiss. And this man performed great miracle. Then the Apostle Paul said in Acts 13:38, be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. Unto you is preached through this man the forgiveness of sin. And we have the truth there, you remember, in Hebrews 10:12. This man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Now the Lord Jesus Christ in these verses called this man, the man who had never sinned, who was sinless. On the cross of Calvary he was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And this man is the glorified man at God's right hand. And as Paul said, if there isn't any resurrection, we haven't any hope and we haven't any message to proclaim. And there isn't any such thing as heaven. And we might as well just eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But now Christ has been raised from the dead. Yes, as a glorified man at God's right hand. So God asks you the question, what then? Let you ask this question and answer it, what then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? How long on earth will you abide, remain in your present sphere? What has happened to all who have died? Where did they go from here? We all go from here to another place, either saved or lost. Are you still rejecting God's saving grace? You'd better count the cost. Things on earth are not just right. There's something wrong, we know. Sin has brought the curse and blight. There is universal woe. God's grace can change the human heart through Christ who saves from sin. But most sinners will not do their part, which is to let the Savior in. I'll not depend on guessing. I surely want to know if there really is a heaven and how I there can go. In God's book, he tells lost sinners how to reach that holy place. Through faith in Christ the Savior, by his abounding grace. Now remember, I'll never forget, and you remember, Acts 13:38 and 39. I'll never forget the first time I heard it. Be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, and all who believe on him will be justified from all things.